The story of the band Black Lips reads kind of like a trashy young adult novel. The two founders were kicked out of high school. Another band member was killed just before their debut album. They did outrageous stuff at shows. There was pee and vomit and blood and making out with each other. Stuff that got them banned from more than a few clubs. Yet after 15 years, they're still at it. At this point, they've played 6 different continents and picked up fans around the world. But as long as you're just screaming, it's all good. We're hanging on a broken T-bird hood. We'll drive, drive, buddy. This is the lead track off the new album by Black Lips called Underneath the Rainbow. The band takes 50s rockabilly and 60s garage rock and makes it into something dark, even a little dangerous.
I feel like we were always trying to find the roots of punk rock.
That's guitarist Cole Alexander. He and bassist Jared Swilly started the band when they were in middle school in Georgia.
And we weren't really a band when we started. We would just make fake flyers and we made jackets. Well, we were a concept first. We were the Renegades, and we were trying to grow rat tails. And we all wore jean jackets that said Renegades on the back. We were going to cut holes in our collars, the rat tails to go through. And we all wore American flag Chuck Taylors.
And you guys got kicked out of school at some point?
Yeah, we got kicked out. We chronically misbehaved, but it was petty. But after the Columbine shooting, we kind of felt like they were trying to get rid of like any strange subculture kids.
Yeah, the year after Columbine, like that next year, it was like a zero tolerance policy, so it was just like minor infractions. The Renegades were a little too tough for that school.
Yeah, but being kicked out kind of gave us motivation. My mom was like, "You have to get a job now." And the job sucked. I was washing dishes, and I was kind of miserable. So that drove us to work harder at being like a band and getting out on the road and touring. Sitting in the classroom, waiting for the teacher's hand to lead us in the pledge of allegiance, make us understand. But we'd rather kick the legs out of the chair and watch it fall, 'cause there's no more time for her to make the call. So when we first started, we were so bad, so we had to make up for it by learning the entertainment side. So we put on a really good show. And we'd study like James Brown and all these entertainers. And we were very theatrical. We would use shock tactics. Like we'd like kiss each other while we were playing and stuff. And that entertained the crowd for the couple of years while we learned our instruments.
I love that. I also love that one of your new songs, Make You Mine, was written with a guy from a heavy metal band, Mastodon.
Oh, yeah.
But then the song sounds like Buddy Holly or Eddie Cochran or something like that.
We were just like making demos in Atlanta, and Brent just showed up at the studio every single day and was hanging out. So we just told him, like, you have to write like a guitar line or something.
Yeah, we opened up for his metal band Mastodon, and their audience didn't really like us too much, I don't think.
Yeah, we got booed.
Really?
Yeah.
Kids were like shooting us the middle finger and telling us to stop playing.
There are divisions and subcultures, you know.
Sure.
We'll get sectionalized.
Don't be crossing those lines.
The funny thing is, our crowd will throw beers at us, but it's in a loving way. But I could tell the way they threw them, it felt not as loving.
Yeah, it was hateful. I need a little love and tell me everything will be alright. It's only 10 more miles.
I'm speaking with Cole Alexander and Jared Swilly from the band Black Lips. Their new album is called Underneath the Rainbow. I need to ask you about an intense part of your history.
Shoot.
I know that a bandmate of yours was killed when the band was first kind of starting to get noticed, Ben Eberbaugh.
Yeah.
How close did you guys come to just kind of dissolving the band and calling the whole thing off at that point?
Not very close at all.
I don't think we ever even considered it.
Oh.
It was on the eve of the release of our first album, and we were doing our first tour. But, I mean, we went to his parents' house immediately that day, and one of the first things they said was to keep going on the tour. And then all these people, it was kind of crazy because all these people had come in from, you know, all the kids that were away at college or had moved to New York all came in. So after the funeral, we had like a 3 or 4 van caravan, and like 40 of us like went on the whole tour.
Wow. And like, so like the tour became like a funeral parade procession. Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of therapeutic though. Like songs he helped us write, we got to play every night. So yeah, it felt healing.
Seems like you guys are pretty booked this summer, you know, playing the U.S. and Europe. But you guys have also toured other, like, places. I want to hear about some of the most interesting places you played.
Our last international trip was our tour of the Middle East. I'm still kind of surprised still that we did it at all, because it started as a joke, kind of.
Really?
Well, just kept saying, like, in interviews and to people, like, we want to be the first band to play in Iraq outside of the Green Zone. And finally we met a guy that was like, oh, I can probably do that.
So, and then when it started to happen, I started to get scared because, you know, the Arab Spring was happening. We were going to Cairo, and they were throwing, like, rocks at the embassy and, like, burning the flag, like, outside. We found out that was just, like, soccer hooligans.
Actually, there was no element of danger.
That was the surprising
thing. At all, at any point.
So tell me about that show. Where did you play? I was in Iraq then. Had I known, I would have gone. But where did you play?
We played in Erbil.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's like, I mean, that's a completely different Iraq than if you go anywhere
northern
or south.
Yeah, the Kurdish people are more friendly to the Americans.
But there was no equipment, so we just had our guitars, and we just had to plug straight in the PA, and Joe, our drummer, had to play, like, buckets in his suitcase and stuff.
Whoa.
And it was, like, mostly families. There were some teenagers.
Like, half of the old people, like, just walked out when we started playing, but the young kids stuck around.
Really? So. What made them walk out?
I don't think they, like, rock
Well, they
at
probably
all.
Just didn't
understand. Rock and roll.
They were just like, okay. What is this? This is stupid.
Honestly, some of the kids.
This makes my ears hurt.
Some of the kids had never seen a rock and roll show before, and that was very exciting for me. It felt, like, heartwarming.
But, like, when we played in Alexandria, Egypt, we were playing at a sushi restaurant, and I just assumed nobody was going to come, but. Like, all at once, like, 100 teenagers came, and they all had their skateboards. And most of them, or the ones I talked to, said they had never been to a rock and roll concert before. And they were, like, wanted to get into it and were dancing, but you could tell they were just figuring it out. I was like, whoa, we invented punk to these kids.
Globalizing punk with you guys at the Vanguard. That's Cole Alexander and Jared Swilly from the band Black Lips. Their new album is called Underneath the Rainbow. Guys, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kelly.